What if everything you believed about getting rich was wrong? What if the secret wasn't finding the next hot stock, timing the market perfectly, or working 80-hour weeks on Wall Street? Warren Buffett proved that wealth creation could be simpler, though never easy. From an Omaha boy obsessed with numbers to becoming one of history's wealthiest individuals, his journey reveals something profound. Exceptional success doesn't require complexity, just clarity. Through decades of Fortune magazine articles compiled by his close friend Carol Loomis, we see how Buffett built his empire not through frantic trading or financial wizardry, but through something far more radical, thinking clearly while everyone else panicked. His approach has become required reading in business schools worldwide, yet its core principles remain startlingly accessible. This isn't just an investment story. It's a masterclass in how discipline, integrity, and independent thinking can compound into extraordinary results. When Fortune first mentioned Warren Buffett in 1966, misspelling his name as Buffet, he was running a $45 million operation few had heard of. By 1970, his partnership had grown to $100 million, delivering 23.8% annual returns, while the Dow limped along at 7.4%. Then Buffett did something baffling. At 39, having accumulated $25 million, he shut it down. His reasoning? This is a market I don't understand. While others chased speculative gains, Buffett stepped back, demonstrating a rare willingness to admit ignorance. But retirement didn't suit him. He redirected his energy through Berkshire Hathaway, a struggling textile manufacturer he'd acquired. This unglamorous vehicle became his canvas for investment history. Berkshire's annual reports, plain, dense, intellectually rich letters from Buffett himself, grew into something remarkable. Unlike most executives who highlighted successes and buried failures, Buffett openly discussed the textile business's poor performance and acknowledged Berkshire's impressive growth couldn't last forever. This transparency, combined with exceptional results, gradually transformed an obscure Midwestern investor into the Oracle of Omaha, someone whose every word would eventually move markets. Buffett's revolutionary approach treats stocks as ownership in real businesses, not paper to flip. He sought companies with strong competitive advantages, above-average returns, minimal capital requirements, and cash-generating ability. Then he waited, sometimes years, for reasonable prices. The contrast was stark. Traders made dozens of daily decisions. Buffett might make a handful yearly. He compared investing to having only 20 punches in your career. Each decision had to count. Where academics defined risk as price fluctuation, Buffett defined it as the possibility of loss or injury. Market swings weren't threats, but opportunities. Most importantly, Buffett understood successful investing requires emotional independence. You're neither right nor wrong because others agree with you. You're right because your facts and reasoning are right. This mindset let him avoid countless fads, including the late 1990s tech bubble when many declared his approach obsolete. Berkshire Hathaway's structure is distinctive. Insurance operations generate float, premiums invested before claims are paid, surrounded by wholly owned businesses like See's Candies and Nebraska Furniture Mart, some earning 57% after-tax returns on equity. Buffett's management philosophy was revolutionary. Operating heads received complete freedom while he focused solely on capital allocation. He used uncapped incentive plans tailored to each business, but paid himself only $100,000. No company-wide meetings, no mandated systems, no bureaucratic overhead. One CEO called it the next best thing to owning the company himself. This reputation gave Buffett acquisition advantages. When another buyer's Johns Manville deal collapsed, he closed with $2.2 billion cash within 24 hours. Despite his solo genius reputation, key relationships amplified Buffett's success. Charlie Munger, his intellectual sparring partner, delivered pithy wisdom. We have a high moral responsibility to be rational, and you don't really have a competency if you don't know the edge of it. Munger evolved Buffett's approach from Graham's strict value formulas toward emphasizing quality, buying wonderful companies at fair prices rather than fair companies at wonderful prices. His friendship with Thomas Murphy led to Capital Cities ABC, which quadrupled when Disney acquired it. As Buffett said, saving business for people you don't like is a little like saving up sex for your old age. Throughout his career, Buffett offered insights that cut through conventional wisdom. His 1999 Fortune article explained how interest rates and corporate profits drive market performance. Examining the 20th century, he identified a puzzling disconnect. Despite 702% real per capita growth, the market experienced three huge bull markets and three stagnation periods spanning 56 years. The culprit? Investors being guided by the rearview mirror. Edgar Lawrence Smith's 1924 book revealed how retained earnings create compound growth, igniting the 1920s bull market until prices disconnected from value. As Keynes warned, it's dangerous to apply past experience without understanding why those results occurred. Buffett criticized pension fund managers who bought enthusiastically when prices were high and retreated when stocks got cheaper, like refusing to buy hamburgers when prices fall. In 1979, when stocks were a screaming buy, these managers fixated on past trauma rather than recognizing that stocks were disguised bonds trading below par while earning 13% on book value, far superior to 9.5% available on actual bonds. Stanford professor William Sharp called Buffett a Five Sigma event, statistically one chance in 3.5 million. Yet there he was, proof that markets could be beaten through discipline and clear thinking. Buffett's greatest leadership test came in 1991 during the Solomon Brothers Treasury bond scandal. After investing $700 million in 1987, he received devastating news. Treasury was barring Solomon from bidding at auctions due to violations, a death sentence for the firm. With Japanese markets opening within hours and bankruptcy lawyers summoned, Buffett frantically worked the phones, reaching Treasury Secretary Nicholas Brady and Fed President Gerald Corrigan. The breakthrough came at precisely 2:30 p.m., when Buffett was scheduled to meet the press. Treasury called with a compromise, lifting the ban on proprietary trading while maintaining restrictions on customer accounts. "Will that do?" asked Treasury official Jerome Powell, later Federal Reserve Chairman. "I think it will," Buffett replied. The board quickly elected Buffett chairman. At the press conference, when asked how he'd manage being in both New York and Omaha, Buffett quipped, "My mother has sewn my name in my underwear, so it'll be okay." After months of negotiation, Solomon settled for $290 million. By May 1992, Buffett returned to Omaha, wryly noting, "Moser's paying $30,000 and is sentenced to prison for 4 months. Solomon's shareholders, including me, paid $290 million, and I got sentenced to 10 months as CEO." When Fortune first mentioned Warren Buffett in 1966, Berkshire stock traded at $22. By mid-2013, it reached $168,600, turning every $1,000 invested into $7,663,636. He beat the S&P 500 in 32 of his first 36 years, delivering 27% annual growth. Yet numbers tell only part of the story. In 2006, Buffett pledged 85% of his fortune, over $40 billion, mostly to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, acknowledging he'd won the ovarian lottery. He noted how America rewards battlefield heroes with medals, while those detecting mispriced securities receive billions. In 2010, Buffett and the Gateses launched the Giving Pledge, encouraging billionaires to commit at least 50% of their wealth to charity. By 2013, 114 people had signed, potentially directing $600 billion to charitable causes. Perhaps Buffett's most enduring legacy is proving exceptional financial success need not compromise integrity. In a world of short-termism and ethical shortcuts, he demonstrated that patience, honesty, and fair dealing produce superior long-term results. He never tried predicting the future. He simply made sound decisions, letting compound interest work its magic. In a world obsessed with getting rich quick, Warren Buffett got rich slow, becoming not just wealthy, but wise.